When she said, I don't dance now, I make money moves, that was a mission statement for a whole new generation.
Respect, but that's not the Mount Rushmore. Listen, cash rules everything around me. When that line dropped, it changed the whole hustle.
The greatest tracks are never finished. They're just debated forever. Introducing the Sprite Living Tracklist. 50 tracks that shape the culture from 6 decades of hip-hop. Scan the QR code on a Sprite or Sprite Zero Sugar to see the full breakdown. Obey your thirst. Sprite.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Dark Forest. Make sure you smash that thumbs up and subscribe if you're new to the channel. Shout out to my channel members and my patrons as you keep this channel alive. Now, let's get spooky. I'm an avid outdoorsman. I always have been. Ever since I was 10, I loved the outdoors. I slowly but consistently honed my skills and acquired gear. I learned over 30 knots, learned how to make fire 4 different ways, how to make shelter, how to trap and hunt with a bow or rifle, how to track, how to identify edible plants and fungi. I brought the right clothing, the right tent, and right knives and axes and saws, etc. Every time I went out, I learned new things. How to survive, and also about myself and the world around me. I guess what I'm trying to convey here is that I'm very experienced. I've encountered predators of all kinds. I know their calls and their tracks and their behavior, so you need to believe me when I say that I encountered something awful, unnatural, meliculous. I live in Colorado. I will often go into the mountains for a week or two at a time and live off the land. It's incredibly freeing. Along with my regular gear, I will bring a high powerful rifle with me every time, and sometimes a bow. A 45-70 lever action rifle is my go-to, and I'll also bring a recurve bow with a draw weight of 90 pounds. I'll also have a handgun with me as a last-ditch defense option against predators. A 10mm Glock. However, every one of these things proved useless. I am a freelance welder and decided to take some time off. 2 weeks in the Rocky Forest in December. Bliss. I drove my truck as close as I could to get to my usual spot. I hiked with all of my gear for around 10 miles where I got to my camp. It's in a small wooded area, perhaps 30 acres, at the bottom of the mountain that lies to the west. A crystal clear stream runs past it. It's rich with flora and fauna, and quite sheltered. I used this spot countless times, every time adding something new. I'd created a raised platform with hewn logs, with an L-shaped part forming walls on the sides. I would put a tarp over the top and sleep in a hammock attached to both ends of the eye, or by setting up a fly cotton cover on the sides to act as a tent. And sleep on the platform itself, cushioned by the bedroll and pine branches, cozy in my down sleeping bag that's rated for 40 below. Next to this platform, I built a log store protected by a tarp. I had stocked it with hundreds of logs by various sizes to use as firewood. Some split, some not. I had a campfire spot in front of the platform, which I used to build self-feeding fires and long fires to keep me warm throughout the night. I set up camp. I was happy. It was cold, but I got the fire going and was soon drinking tea out of the kuska I made myself. I went to sleep around 10 p.m. and slept throughout the night. The next few days were uneventful. I shot a mule deer on day 3. The temperature was consistently below freezing, so the meat would freeze and wouldn't spoil. I foraged the edible plants and used some food I had brought with me to make myself good meals. On day 4, I started to get anxious. I was hearing things. Strange things. Cries of what sounded like a mountain lion, but too human, like someone who had practiced mimicking the sound of one their entire life. If you've ever heard one, you will know that they could sound vaguely human sometimes, but this was different. I could also smell something foul on the air. That night, I boxed myself in the corner with logs and kept my rifle and 10mm Glock close. But on the 5th day, things started to get strange. It was 4 p.m. and the sun was setting. I was frying a piece of deer loin, and I smelled something awful. It smelled like death, like blood and piercing bowels. I could taste it, like I had bitten a rotten deer carcass, like I had putrid, copper-tasting blood in my mouth. I gagged and looked up from my steak, and I saw it. A mountain lion, at the base of the mountain, about 200 yards away. It looked wrong. Its body was too long, too slender. I picked up the rifle leaning against some logs and zoomed in on my scope. I immediately froze with fear. It was worse than I thought. Its back was long and arched, its spine jutting out. Its skin was loose and had several tears in it, exposing blackened, greenish flesh beneath. Its legs were twisted, spindly and long. But my God, its face. Its stinking face. It was wrong. So frickin' wrong. It looked almost human, like a man cut the face off of a mountain lion and draped it over his own. The face was flat, and it was looking at me. The sun was low. It was still staring at me after 10 minutes. I couldn't move. The scope was still on my eye. The sun was disappearing behind the mountain. The thing was already cloaked in shadow, and the shadows were lengthening. After a few minutes, the sun was almost gone. I watched the last sliver of it disappear behind the top of the mountain. It was getting dark. I decided I needed to protect myself. Whatever this thing was, I needed to protect myself. I knew I was going to retreat into the makeshift tent, close the flaps up, and get behind my log box and wait. It was getting too dark now, and the fire in front of me was making it hard for me to see the thing through my scope. I took my eye away from the scope, trying to keep an eye on it, and stood up. As soon as my eyes adjusted, I couldn't see it. It was like it had completely disappeared. I moved around the side of the fire to see if I could see it again before I got in my tent. Even more terrified now, I started to walk backwards to the flaps. That's when I saw it. It was running towards me. It was sprinting. It was sprinting on 2 legs. I immediately snapped out of my haze. My brain lit up and I felt like I had just been struck by lightning. I heard it running, hitting tree branches as it went. But what was worse was the noise that it was making, screaming like a human. It sounded like a woman wailing at the loss of her child, but angrier, and it had an inherent animalistic quality to it. I turned around and leapt into my tent. I knew it wouldn't do anything to protect me. But I knew I couldn't outrun it, and it was better than nothing, especially since I wasn't thinking straight in the first place. I dove into the corner of my small log tent. A gasoline storm lantern filled the room with the warm yellow light. Next to me was my gear, pots and pans, and my emergency signal gear, including a sat phone, compass, maps, and signaling devices, including several flares. I could hear it still, getting closer and closer. I was shaking so hard I could barely hold my rifle. I trained it at the flaps and then... silence. Dead silence. The wind had stopped. There was no rustling leaves, no sounds of footsteps. Then, I heard it breathe. quietly at first, and then louder and louder as it became closer. It sounded wrong, like this was the first time it had ever needed to take a breath, like it was just doing it to torment me. I breathed slowly, raspy sounds as it breathed in, and something like a moaning sound when it breathed out, like several people crying out from the depths of the thing's throat. Its footsteps grew louder. Every step made my body jolt and tense up, the twigs and leaves beneath its feet being pulverized like they were under immense weight. As it got closer, the smell grew fouler, like death. I tried to breathe in through my mouth, but even that made me gag, and I threw up yellow bile on the floor. I could still hear its terrible breathing, but it had stopped moving. My eyes were filled with tears from throwing up, blurring everything. The breathing was louder than ever. The moaning sounded more like screaming now. I used the sleeve of my woolen anorak to wipe my eyes and my face. I blinked and blinked until I could see again. I saw something at the top of my vision. A slender arm, seemingly unending, twisted and snaked through the flaps of the door and held it open. I brought my head up and screamed. Slowly, it had begun to move its head into the tent. It turned its huge head towards me. It was gigantic. Its head was at least 3 feet tall, making the tent look like a doll's house. It was staring at me with enormous human-looking eyes, almost like you would see in a baby. Its face was loose, as if the skin was merely a sheet draped over a skull. It was torn in several places, exposing black greenish flesh beneath it, surrounded by globs of dark, coagulated blood. Its face was too human. It was flat, with a sharp nose and full bloodied lips. Fur matted with dark liquid, its ears barely visible about the overgrown coat. It was like it could feel my terror. It was enjoying it, bathing in it. Then, it smiled. It grinned. It exposed a mouth of teeth broken and mismatched. It seemed to have teeth all the way down to its throat, a mix of cat-like fangs and rotting human teeth. It started to bring its other arm in. I jumped at the movement and instinctively fired my rifle. The bullet caught at the top of its head, creating a huge pulverized crater at the top of its head. It didn't even move. It didn't flinch at all. Blood and pieces of rotted flesh hit the floor. I scrambled to cycle the rifle, fumbling and stovepiping the brass casing in the action. It continued to move its arms in, moving the flaps aside and revealing its long, emaciated body. Covered in wounds, the smell of it once again made me gag as I desperately reached for my pistol and my knife. I put the knife in my left hand and pistol in my right and widely shot at the thing. Several hit its torso, but it seemed completely unfazed. Bullets punched small holes in the fly-cotton tent and striking my storm lantern, spraying the pressurized gasoline all over the walls of the tent, the floors, the beast, and me. The smell of gas vapor became overwhelming, and I knew I had to try everything. I could not stop the beast. I turned, dropping my knife and gun, and ripped a rocket flare from my emergency supplies. It was getting even closer, its body taking up almost the entire tent. It was enjoying this, enjoying my fear, savoring it before it would do whatever it wanted to do with me. I primed the flare, aimed it directly at the beast, and shot it. As soon as it left the tube, I felt the immense heat of my body set alight. I closed my eyes as I could feel my hair all but disappear on my face started to burn. My eyelids were blistered and my skin peeled away, yet I felt almost no pain. Then I heard it scream, an angry scream. I could feel its hatred and its pain, asking me how I dared to interfere with its plans. I turned and fell to shield myself from the flames. I felt my knife and gun beneath my ribs. I gathered them up, cutting a slit in the fabric of the tent with my knife. I felt its arm brush against my leg. With an ear-splinting scream, it reached out and lunged its claws into my leg. The whole tent was engulfed in flames. I turned over, briefly opening my eyes. It was sprawled across the floor, its face twisted into a visage of pure hatred, its mouth and eyes wide. Its legs were frantically kicking at the flaps, tearing the fabric to shreds. The flesh seemed to be evaporating off of its body, parts showing jagged, broken bones raising out of its spine. I raised my knife up and drove it through its arm, still with the claw at my leg, into the logs below. It clawed at me with its other arm, making a large wound, but I was already scrambling out of the hole I'd made. I fell 3 feet into the snow, drifts licking the walls of my lean-to. I heard hisses as my clothes were extinguished. My woolen anark was singed and blackened. My pants had melted and fused with the flesh of my legs. I picked myself up and ran. I wasn't thinking at all at this point. My body was operating on autopilot, the adrenaline carrying me wherever I needed to go. I sprinted and sprinted, the terrible screams of the beast fading into the distance. I can't remember much after that. I remember finding my truck and driving as fast as I could. I woke up the next evening in a nearby hospital. I had crashed my truck after having swerved out of the way of another. The driver and the other truck had found me, profusely bleeding with third-degree burns, and had driven me to the hospital. I made up a story to tell them, a half-truth. I had said that I had been attacked by a predator and collapsed onto my campfire after having fainted. I was released after 2 weeks. I promptly sold every piece of remaining camping and outdoors gear I owned and burnt the rest. I escaped, but I didn't feel like it. I could still smell it. I could still feel it. When I close my eyes, I see it there, staring at me with those huge human eyes, smiling, thinking about how it could torment me, what it would do to me. I'm never going into the woods again.
When she said, "I don't dance now, I make money moves," that was a mission statement for a whole new generation.
Respect, but that's not the Mount Rushmore. Listen, Cash rules everything around me. When that line dropped, it changed the whole hustle. The greatest tracks are never finished. They're just debated forever. Introducing the Sprite Living Tracklist. 50 tracks that shape the culture from 6 decades of hip-hop. Scan the QR code on a Sprite or Sprite Zero Sugar to see the full breakdown. Obey your thirst. Sprite.